Hey, what's up everyone? Remy Meyer here, founder of Mike's Out Your Gym. And today I am with Jono Petrohilos. What's up, man?
Oh man, I love the way you say my name. I've only heard it said with a Greek accent. Doesn't sound sexy with a Greek accent, but the way you said it, say that again.
Petrohilos, how do you
say
that?
Yeah, man, now, that sounds sexy. I like it. I'm awesome. Remy, how are you?
great. So we did an interview a week ago where you interviewed me. Now I'm going to interview you. So tell us your story and what you do. What's your story?
Yeah, man, let me do it. Do you want me to, are you good if I just dive into it and then you can just jump in?
Yeah,
awesome. All right, cool. So if you're listening to this, I'm not sure if you already know me. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm from Australia, as you can probably tell by the accent. I run a company, Fitness Education Online, where we essentially run online CEC courses or online education courses for fitness professionals, personal trainers. We've got the largest Facebook group in Australia for personal trainers. There's like 15,000 of us in there. We're one of, if not the biggest provider of online CEC courses in Australia, if not the world. And I'm also lucky enough to be the current Fitness Australia Educator of the Year. So that's pretty much what I do in the space there. And like, sounds pretty cool now. Business is very successful. It's about $1 million a year business. So I'm super happy with that. But wasn't always like that, right? If I would have never picked this here, my first job in the industry, Remy, and my first job was in a gym. That's everyone sort of starts there, right? Then I started running a boot camp. I was working at a franchise all over. They had like 75 different locations across Australia and New Zealand. And every location was ranked on how good you were, right? Number one was the best. Number 75 was the worst. Take a guess at what I was ranked, Remy, when starting off. Take a guess.
Probably at the bottom.
Yes. Bang, dead last, 75, all right?
Oh, wow.
And I knew 75. And I knew 74. 74 was not a good trainer, right? So the fact that they were beating me wasn't good. And we had to go to a convention at the end of the year, right, with all different 75 locations all across Australia and New Zealand. And I didn't want to go because I was the worst trainer there, right? And I know you're a stats guy, Remy, because you know your Facebook ads, you know, you got everything down to the stats, right? I didn't think I was the worst trainer there. It was statistically proven I was the worst trainer there. I would log onto the dashboard. There was a pie chart telling me how bad I was, right? You know, you suck when there's a pie chart telling you how bad you were. I was one of those Facebook ads, Remy. You know, you get good leads, $1, $2. You know, some people get leads for $100. That was me in the bootcamp world, right? Not in the Facebook, but that's how bad I was, right? So anyways, went down
to
this.
What were they measuring here?
The measure, retention. So it was like, yep. So it was a 12-week challenge, right? Yeah. How many of your clients came back to the next one? And I'll tell you my number. I think it was about 30%, Remy. So let's say I had 20 clients in my boot camp, signed up for 12 weeks. Only 6 of them came back out of 20, right? So I'm going to stop. Thanks for pointing that out, Remy. That was great for you to highlight that fact and just show how bad I was at it. But that was back then, right? Anyway, had to go to this convention, all right? Had a meeting with the franchise owners off the bat. And they're like, Jono, you know, what's going on? You're coming 75th. And I was like, yeah, it's not my fault. You know, it's the competition. You know, in my area, there's all these other 24-hour gyms. There's every second person is a personal trainer. You know, there's all this competition going on there. I can't compete with that. And I was like, also, you know, it's a franchise. You're meant to be doing the marketing. All the marketing you're doing is not good. None of the people are signing up. You know, your marketing sucks. And I was like, also, I live in Sydney. You know, it's not the Gold Coast, Queensland, you know, where it's good weather and sunny all the time. Like, it rains in Sydney in winter. It gets cold, you know. No one's going to do a boot camp then. And they were like, all right. So I basically came up with every excuse in the book, right? I think I made up a few excuses as well. I think I blamed the government, you know, whatever I could, right? And they were like, all right, Jono, we got good news and we got bad news. The bad news is, as a boot camp instructor, you suck. You've seen the pie chart. You've seen your retention rate. You're not good, right? But the good news is you can actually do something about it, because at the moment, you're sitting here blaming everybody else but yourself. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe it's not the competition's fault that you suck. maybe it's your fault you haven't done enough to be better than the competition. Right. You know, what courses have you done? What mentors have you hired? And I was like, oh, I did my initial stuff. That's all I need, right? And then they were like, the marketing. Okay, is it our marketing that sucks or is it your sales that suck? You know, what business coaches have you hired? What sales books have you read? And I was like, oh, that's a good point. None. And they're like, also, if our marketing is so bad, why don't you go out and do some of your own? And I was like, that is a good point. And they were like, and the weather, you're blaming the weather, Jono. Like, you can go out and hire like a school hall or a church hall for $20. You can solve your biggest problem for $20, but you're too busy sitting here blaming everybody else but yourself. And I was like, ooh, you know, it was a good. What was that, sorry?
It was the hard pill to swallow, right? The truth.
It was. But it was the best, you know? It's kind of like, and this is what I'm sure we'll get to later. It's like, you got two options in life, in my opinion. It's either, and like, there's two ways I could have looked at that situation. Maybe it wasn't my fault. Maybe all those things were true. But if I'm blaming other people, that's fine. I can do it. I might feel a little bit better, but I'm always going to stay down the bottom. Or I can see it the other way and be like, you know what? This is 100% my fault. Yeah, it takes a bit of the other thing as well, though, like for me, it's okay to accept you're not good at something as long as you're doing something about it. You know, nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm currently not the best in the world at what I do. That's cool. But what I don't condone is sitting down and being poor me. Don't be like, oh, I'm bad at this. I'm a loser. I'm depressed. You know, hey, I'm currently not as good as I'd like to be on this. So let me do something about it and get better at it. Right. It's just, it's two different ways, you know? So, and that's essentially, and from there, they were like, look, Jono, is what we want you to do. Your job is safe, right? We're not going to get rid of you. It's all good. But for the next 12 months, instead of blaming everybody else, take some responsibility, right? Come back 12 months time and let's see what happens. So that's what I did. I took extreme ownership. I'll finish the story and then we'll go and talk about the bits and pieces, but kind of like, so did that, took accountability for my actions. And basically for that year, I'd realize a weakness and then I'd work on that weakness. Then I'd see my next weakness and then I'd work on that. And then I'd see the next one and I'd work on that, you know, and from different courses and books and seminars and whatever it may be. Fast forward 12 months later, same convention, Remy. Now, what do you think I was ranked?
At the top,
number one, right?
Number one.
Yeah. And retention went to 104% and had 105 members in that 1 year. So went from 20 with a retention rate of 30%. To 100 members where all 100 came back and even some of the old clients because they'd see on social media, oh man, this boot camp's gotten better. Let me sign up for this one here. So got some old clients back and then kept growing. From there, opened up a new location, did a similar thing over there, had two locations. And then from there, other trainers started to ask me, you know, Jono, what's, because they knew me when I was 75th, right? And they're like, what the hell happened? Like 2 years ago, you were the worst person, you know, now you're the, now you're number one, you got multiple locations. Like, how did you do it? And we'll get to some of the mindset things in a sec, but in a nutshell there, that's when I also created my first course, you know, how to run a successful bootcamp. And then, you know, grew that to one business, to the other. So that's a bit of the background of my story there. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. Great. And so how did you figure out during those 2 years? You said seminars, you said online courses, spoke about some books. How did you figure it out? Can you?
Okay, so I'll do this in a couple ways, right? I can list a whole heap of books and seminars, that sort of stuff as well. But I'll put it down to one thing, which is essentially mindset, right? And I'll share a few specific philosophies that I learned and that I use. So the first one was, if we go back to that conference, the owners gave like a presentation on, have you seen The Line, Remy? Have you seen like Living Above the Line, Living Below the Line? Have you seen that?
It's a movie.
No, it's like a theory that, you know, Tony Robbins and that sort of teach. But it's
I don't remember that one. I love Tony Robbins, but
yeah. We'll jump on YouTube after this, and for the listeners as well, just jump, because it's more, it looks better visually. I'll explain it on a podcast, but it'll look better visually. Like, just jump on YouTube and type in, you know, Below the Line, Above the Line, or something. But in a nutshell, the owners would, there was that, like a whiteboard, right? and they drew like a line, like a horizontal line across the whiteboard. And they're like, all right, people that live above the line are successful at whatever they choose to do. People that live below the line are unsuccessful at everything they choose to do. And I was like, sweet, you know, I mean, just tell me what's above this line and I'll do it, you know, and tell me what's below the line and I won't do it. And they started with below the line. So people that live below the line, they blame other people, they come up with excuses, and they're in denial. And as they were giving the examples, I'm just like, shit, that's me. You know, every example they gave, which was like, you know, if it's wet weather, for example, right? They're like, okay, you know, if it's raining and you have to cancel your session because it's raining, like you could do two things. You can blame the rain, or, you know, you can blame yourself for not having a venue undercover, right? Mm. And then they said above the line is ownership, accountability, and responsibility, all right? And they were like, whatever, fitness, business, relationships, whatever. If you live above the line, you're going to be successful. Below the line, you won't. And I'll give some specific examples where I was able to implement that into my business, right? So I remember previously when I was 75, there was a client who I got on pretty well with, and I wanted her to sign up for the next round of bootcamp. But she was like, ah, Jono, I'd love to. I can't, you know, because I got netball training in the summer. Do you have netball in your country? Do you know netball?
No.
Okay, let's just call it football. Let's call it women's football. It's different, but just to put it in perspective, right? Okay. Let's say she, soccer. You say soccer or football?
Right, yeah.
You say soccer. Soccer. Oh, okay, cool. Really? So, yeah, let's say, for example, yeah, she's like, Jono, I'd love to keep training, but I got soccer training. You know, I can't make it. And I previously would have been like, oh, okay, nothing I can do. Right? She's got soccer training. There's nothing I can do. But then I realized, no, hold on. That's my responsibility. I didn't make my boot camp a better experience than her soccer training, right? If I was that good, she would have told her friends at soccer, girls, I love playing soccer with you, but this boot camp is better. See you later, bye. You know, I'm out of there and I'm doing this boot camp and you're coming with me, right? Same situation, very different ways of looking at it. And I would take it to the next level, right? I'll give another example. And a lot of listeners might think this is crazy, but I'll put it in perspective. It was another client. Then when I was number one, I lost another client, which was huge because I had 100% retention. So if I lost a client, I'm like, what did I do wrong? She's like, Jono, it's not you. You know, like I just got a better job in a different state. So I'm moving state, right? Mm. Still my fault, because the way I look at that is I didn't do a good enough job of making my boot camp a better experience than that opportunity she had there, right? I want to make my boot camp so good that she's like, okay, I've got a better job opportunity interstate. Nope, I'm going to turn that one down. I'm going to stay here and earn less money and work a worse job because I want to go to Jono's boot camp. Now, might sound crazy, and you know, I wasn't able to turn her around, but if I can go into it with that attitude, if I can go into it being like, right, this experience is so good that people are going to turn down a job opportunity, interstate, better money just to do my boot camp, like it's going to be a better experience for the clients. So that was kind of number one. It might sound crazy, but does it make sense in theory?
Makes sense, yeah. Probably unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's probably harder to keep 100% plus retention rates for years and years and years.
Exactly.
But at least with that kind of mindset, you can have 97%, let's say.
Or it's at least going to be better, you know, because there might be a thing where whatever, you know, there's opportunities, things come up, there's things, but if you go into that mindset, I guarantee you it would be better than if you didn't go into it with that mindset, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the first one. And then after that, they put up like a quote. Okay. I can't remember. I think it was Henry Ford or someone. It was basically whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right. Have you heard that quote, Remy? Have you heard that one?
Was that right?
Have you heard that quote?
Yeah. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Whatever you believe in is going to become true.
Exactly. And it was kind of like, it's hard to explain what I was like back then. But you know, sometimes you get in like an argument or a discussion with someone and they're sort of like, yeah, I can't do that. You can do that. And you're like, yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I used to be like that because I used to think, yeah, that's how you motivate people, right? But then I realized like that person needs to believe it. You know, if I can't get that person to believe it, there's not only so many encouraging words and things I can say, right? And I realized that in my life as well, where it was like, if I've got a goal and I don't think I'm going to do it, you know, it's like, you got no chance. You know, maybe there's the odd chance you get lucky. But if you're like, you know, hey, I want to run this successful boot camp, you know, multiple locations. I don't think I can do it, but I'll give it a go and see what happens. Maybe you get lucky and do it, but 9 out of 10 times, you know, if you're going with that attitude, you're not going to do it. On the flip side, it's kind of like, all right, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, and I'm gonna get 2 successful boot camp locations. I got no doubt in my mind it's gonna be successful. Now, once again, it's no 100% guarantee, right? A lot of the time you may do it, you know, it may not be successful, but I guarantee you, if you get 2 people, let's say Remy's got the mindset, I'm gonna be successful, whatever it takes. I've got the mindset, I don't think I'll do it, but I'll give it a go and see what happens. Remy's gonna smoke me 9 out of 10 times. You know, maybe there's that 10% where something happens, but 9 out of 10 times, like if you think you can do it, you're going to find a way. If you don't, you won't. And another carry on that is a Tony Robbins quote I like a lot. He uses a similar one where it's kind of like lack of resources is never the problem. It's lack of resourcefulness. And I think they work quite well together, right? So you can... You know, you can. Sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, this one too, yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's.
No,
like,
I was saying I love this one too. Yeah,
because it's like it's kind of like it's easy to sit back and that person's successful because they've got money, or they've got time, or they've got a rich family, or they live in a better area, you know, and like maybe there's some advantages. I'm not saying there are advantages, but it's not an excuse not to be successful. Like there's so much there's so much opportunity today with the internet and with, you know, Facebook and with, you know, everything. Like anyone can be successful if they're resourceful enough. That's the right thing. It's not the resources, resourceful. So
and actually, you know, I would recommend gym owners, personal trainers to check on that before inviting new clients, if they are actually resourceful.
Mm.
Because you have to be resourceful to actually change your body, change your life. And so oftentimes people would answer, well, I don't have a lot of money. Yeah, we didn't ask you if you have the resources. We ask you is, if you don't have the resources, are you gonna find a way to get access to the resources? That's what resourcefulness is. It's exactly when you don't have the resources that you still find a way, right?
Bang on, love that, 100%. And then from there, okay, then the next sort of principle I implemented, I read a book or an audio CD, was The Common Denominator of Success. Have you read that or heard that?
No.
Okay. So it's a good one. And once again, this stuff sucks me in. If there's anything that's like, hey, successful people do this, unsuccessful, you know, people do this, I'm in. And they spoke about the common denominator. They're like, successful people are successful because they do the things that unsuccessful people don't want to do. That's simple, right? I'll say that again for listeners. Successful people are successful because they do the things that unsuccessful people don't want to do. And I was like, yeah, sweet. What are these things unsuccessful people do so I cannot do them, you know? And then the next sort of chapter was like, well, it's the same thing most people don't want to do. Not many people, no one wants to wake up early and work out, right? No one wants to, you know, invest in money on personal trainers or on, you know, coaches or whatever it may be. Or in a nutshell, like most, if it came down to it, most people would just want to kick back and relax and, you know, save, not spend a heap of money and not spend a heap of time and not push themselves a little bit more, but you're going to stay in the same place, right? Those people that do those things that most people don't want to do. I'll get up an hour earlier and train, right? Or I'll get up an hour earlier and work on my business. Or, you know, I'll go and invest in a personal trainer. I'll go and invest in a business coach, right? Or maybe it's just the actual work side of things. You know, most people don't want to work out really hard, right? Same with business owners. Most people don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations, right? But if you do those things that most people don't want to do, it's what you're going to be successful. And I'd ask all the listeners to think of that in their own life as well. And maybe yourself, Remy, what would you say, what area in your life are you the most successful in, would you say?
That's a good question. I used to be a good athlete.
Okay, cool. Let's.
And now I think that's what I do with my business. You know, that's...
Let's run with both of them. Let's say you now with your business, would you say there's things that you've done to have a successful business that your average person wouldn't do or wouldn't have done previously? List a couple of them. What are some of the things that you did that like your average person would never do?
Well, at the beginning, I was working like crazy at the very beginning, putting in the hours, working during the weekends, not taking holidays, studying, learning, failing, improving. Investing in coaching, even though if it was scary at the beginning, I would say, reading books, podcasts, all the time. So it's true that I was sacrificing a lot on friends, on family, on fun. Like, hey, I have the opportunity to go party or work on my business. Well, I'm going to work on my business. Yeah,
exactly. So for everyone listening that's a business owner, that's why Remy's in the place he is, right? He took those sacrifices early on, worked hard, invested, took choices. Now he just lives wherever he wants, 3 months in Costa Rica, 3 months in Bali. And it may be easy to look at that. He's naturally good at what he does, or he got lucky. And maybe there's an element to that as well, but he's that below the iceberg stuff, right? And it's the same side of things if you want to compare it in fitness, right? Let's say, for example, there's two people. Let's use me and Remy again, right? And let's say we both want to lose weight. All right. There's a personal trainer that's awesome for us. They charge $100 a week and the only session is 5 a.m. Right. Neither of us want to do it. But if one of us did do it, 10 weeks later, who's going to be in better shape? It's a no brainer. Right. It's the same sort of thing there. So there was that point there. They're sort of the major things. And then there was some language things that they covered. One of the best is around the word try. So have you heard Jack Canfield, Remy? Do you know who he is?
No, tell us about him.
Have you seen the movie The Secret? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's one of the guys in The Secret, right? An American guy, and he's got his own books and that sort of thing. And I went to a convention in America, and he's actually another, I'll tell you, he's where my business exploded even further, right? So when I was running both of those boot camps, I was sort of working like a crazy person, right? Like anyone does at that sort of stage, didn't take any holidays, no days off or whatever. And then one of my friends went to a conference in California called IDEA. Have you heard of the IDEA convention, Remy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. So one of my friends went there and she was posting the photos on Facebook. And I was like, man, that's sick. I'd love to go to this convention. Everyone's into fitness. Everyone's into business. It's in America, and if you're in Australia, America's cool. It's this big place far away, a lot of people, a lot of business, a lot of money. It's like a cool location to go to, But I was like, I can't go to America. I got to run these two boot camps. Got to look after my clients. Got to look after the new clients, the sales, the marketing, blah, 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 blah. And I went to this, this was then that same convention, but a few years down the track, right? Where I was now doing it, okay. And there was a speaker they had there called the Bucket List Guy, right? Mm. An Australian guy, the Bucket List Guy. And he went through his sort of strategy as everybody's like, write down a goal that you want to, that's on your bucket list, a short-term one, like that you can do in the next year or so. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go to this IDEA convention. So I wrote that down, right? And he was very strategic. He's like, first, just write it down. So everyone wrote it down. And he's like, all right, what I want you to do today is take some action that's going to involve getting that. And he's like, I'm not talking about, writing it down or whatever. Take some serious, and he used me as an example. He's like, Jono, what's your goal? And I'm like, oh, I'd like to go to this IDEA convention. He's like, all right, book a ticket. And I'm like, what? And he's like, and we broke it down. He's like, all right, so you'd need flights, accommodation, and, the ticket for the convention, right? I was like, yeah. We broke down the prices. It's like, all right, the convention is $300. The flight is $2,000. The accommodation is, $3,000 or something, So look, Jono, do buy the ticket for $300. It's probably going to motivate you to find the money and go and do it. Or worst case scenario, okay, if you're down $300, is it the end of the world? Not really. What the positive versus the negative? And I was like, all right, So I went and booked that $300 and I'm like, where am I going to find this $5,000? The flights wasn't too bad. I'm like, well, it is what it is. But it was the accommodation because it was in LA. And the hotel was like $350 a night. And I'm like, man, it's a lot of money for 5 days or whatever. But I got resourceful. And then I found out there was this website, because keep in mind, this is back in like 2014, right? I was like, there was this website called Airbnb. You know, I was speaking to a client or something, and I was like, I want to go, but accommodation is so expensive. They're like, why don't you get an Airbnb? I'm like, what the hell is that? And they're like, trust me, go on the website and go to Airbnb.com. And I went on there and I'm like, okay, I don't need to spend, you know, $350 a night in LA. I can do it for $50 a night. All right, now I'm in, right? So, and went to the convention. It was awesome. I learned so much. And there's a few good lessons there. But it's kind of like the lesson of taking that action, right? Investing in it, finding a way. And even just the actual act of going over there, the info was really good. I'm not going to say it was so much better than Australia, but it was different. And I was the only Australian there. So then when I went back to Australia, I had a skill set that I was the only one in the country that had. And it's kind of like, because we've got conventions over here in Australia too. If you're listening in Australia, you've probably heard of Filex. If you're in New Zealand, FedEx, you know, we've got them. And I go to those as well. But if I go to Filex, you know who's there? My competition. So I'm not really getting ahead of my competition. I'm just not falling behind. But if I go over to America and I'm the only one there, I'm getting in front of my competition. And it's also, there's the act of going over there, but also the stuff where it's like, not many people are going to pay $4,000 to go for a 4-day convention, you know? So because I was able to do that, that's how I was to get ahead of the competition, right? To do the things that most people don't want to do. But anyway, I'm getting on a bit of a tangent. Went to IDEA and Jack Canfield was the keynote speaker. I hadn't seen The Secret at that stage. So it was like, oh, here's this guy, Jack Canfield. I'm like, who's this guy? He doesn't look like a fitness guy. You know, why am I going to listen to this guy? But he gave a talk on language and it was amazing. He started with the word try. So you've got a pen on you there, right, Remy? Awesome. Put that pen down for a sec. I'll show you the exercise he did. You might know it, but we'll see if it works anyway. So on the count of three, Remy, I want you to pick up your pen and just hold it up to your eye like that. All right. One, two, three, go. Okay, good. Passed. Now put it back down. This time you don't have to do it. I just want you to try and do it. Okay, so don't pick it up and put it there. Just try and pick it up and put it there. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
If I try to do it?
Exactly, right? And that's what everyone's doing. Like, what the hell? And he's kind of like, all right, that's how the word try works. If you want it, he goes, either you do something or you don't do it, right? Yeah. Like trying to do it is just kind of like an excuse.
You're already a failure, yeah.
Yeah, you're basically saying, I'm not 100%.
Not going to make it. Yeah, I tried.
It's kind of like, let's look at it from a business side of things. Most people know it's a good idea to read books. Most business owners do it, right? So a common thing from a business owner, you know what? I'm going to try and read a book every week. How do you try and read? Do you try and open it and the wind just closes the pages? You know, either commit to reading a book a week or don't, right? And same kind of thing with fitness. Look, I'm going to try and get to 3 sessions this week. How do you try it? What, you drive in your car, hope to get to the gym, but you end up at McDonald's? Like, you know, make a call. Either you do it or you don't. And I actually think it's a Star Wars quote as well. Do you watch Star Wars, Remy?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I think Yoda says it. I think Yoda says, you know, either do or do not. There is no, when Luke's trying to, you know, he's like, oh, I'm trying to use the Force. And Yoda's like, you know, there is no try. You know, you do or you do not, or something right. like that. And look, it's once again, it's getting a bit obsessive and a bit, you know, so what I'm looking for, a bit unrealistic, you know, like things come up, all right, but it's just that mindset where there's a difference between saying, look, I'm going to go to 3 sessions a week, no matter what, you know, all right, I'm going to read a book a week, no matter what, as opposed, things might come up and you may not make them all. That's life, right? But there's a difference going in with that mindset and going in where, yeah, I'll try and go to the gym 3 days, or, you know, I'll try and do this. And even at the, even I remember when I was running boot camp, I'll test it out with clients. I'm like, you know, Remy, you coming to boot camp tomorrow? Yeah, I'll try and make it down, Jono. What do you mean you try and make it down? Like, give me a, it's kind of like with that there, it's like, I'm probably not going to come, but I don't want to admit to myself that I'm not going to come. So if I say the word try, it makes me feel better. Because if that person said to me, look, Jono, I'm not going to come, I'd be like, well, why not? And they'd be like, well, I don't know. I just don't want it enough. Or, you know, well, I want to go out drinking tonight. And when you say it like that, it goes back to the start of this story, taking that responsibility. It's like if that situation there, if you just say, yeah, I'll try and make it tomorrow. And then you go out drinking that night and you don't make it. Well, I'm not letting anyone down. I just said I would try. But right. If you sort of, yeah, and if you went the flip side, if you're like, Jono, got to be honest, I'm not going to come because I want to go out drinking. Now that's fine. Nothing against, but at least be honest with yourself. Be like, look, I'm not going to come because I want to go out drinking. That's totally cool. I'm happy to do that. I would prefer to go out drinking than be a little bit healthier. I'll take responsibility. No dramas. That's fine. But then if you went out drinking, you didn't go to the session, and then you're like, oh, I didn't lose weight. Why didn't I lose weight? Well, you know, if you go back there, right? So it's just a way to look at it there. Now, along with the word try, a couple other words that Jack Canfield recommends to remove is the word can't. That's another common one as well, right? And he goes, replace can't with I don't want to, right? And once again, I'm going to be obsessive and I'm going to be unrealistic, but I'm just talking about going in with that mindset, right? So there's a difference between saying, you know, let me think of a good one. Let's just use that one there. Hey, Jono, let's use the Saturday morning bootcamp. Jono, I'd love to go to Saturday morning bootcamp, but I can't because, you know, my car's at the mechanics. Okay, cool. But it's not, you're using the word can't. A better thing would be, hey, Jono, I'm not going to go to bootcamp tomorrow. My car's at the mechanics and I don't want to ask anyone else for a lift and I don't want to get an Uber and I don't want to get public transport down there. I would prefer to take the easy option and not go. That's essentially what you're saying, right? Now, I get it. In language, you wouldn't say that, but in your mind, that's what's going on, right? Let's think of we're going to say?
That we should ask ourselves, how can I, right?
Exactly. You know, and like, and once again, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know, the session is whatever, 15 minutes away. I'm short on cash. I don't have the money for an Uber. It's, you know, I could walk there, but it's dark, it's rainy, I don't feel safe. I've asked everyone else, no one lives in my area. I've literally tried it, every trick in the book. I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could, but all these options, you know what, it's going to be a better option for me to stay in bed and I'm going to take the consequence for that. Totally cool, right? But there's a difference between taking responsibility for it and not taking responsibility, right? Let me think of another good one. And because really there's, and I'll go the final one. Is the word have. There's very few things in life we have to do, right? It's just things we want to do.
Right.
And different. And look, there's different variations. Like let's say, for example, let's say you got a young kid at school and you're like, look, you know, I can't make it to training because I have to pick up my kid from school. Now I get it. That would be the wise choice to do. And I recommend you do it, but you don't really have to. If you wanted to, you could leave him there. It wouldn't be a nice decision to make, but you know, You technically you could, right? The message I'm getting here is there's very few things you have to do, right? And even with that example there, if we look at that, it's like, hey, I'd love to go to training, but look, I can't because I have to pick up my kid. Once again, is that the only option? Or, you know, could there be carpools, right? Or could there be, you know, public transport? Could the kid walk? Could another parent get it? Could a friend get it? You know, like, and I'm not saying all these are options. They may not be, but there's a difference between saying, look, I have to pick up my kid and saying, look, I'm not going to go to training because I want to pick up my kid. I want to spend more time with him. So I get it. I'm going to be less fit, but I'm happy to take that consequence because I want to spend time with my, you know, with my kid. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that, right? But at least it's not a have to kind of thing. And that's probably an example where most people would. But even if we go into it, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of listeners will probably relate with a lot of these. If maybe it's a woman, you know, and she's like, hey, I'd love to exercise, but I have to do the ironing and the washing, so I can't go and train. It's kind of like, well, replace that with the word want. You know, hey, I want to go and train, but I want to do the washing and ironing instead. So I'm happy not to lose weight because I'd prefer to do the washing and ironing. It's kind of like when you say it like that, it sounds silly, right? But that's essentially what you're saying. So, and I get it. It might sound unrealistic and whatever to people out there, but it's just a mindset to go in with. And if you go in with that mindset where it's like, you're not going to try and do something, you don't have to do anything. You can't, it's not, there's nothing you can't do. Look, you're not going to be perfect. You are going to try something and it's not going to work. That's freaking life, right? But it's just the mindset you go into it is worlds apart.
Right. How about should?
What was that? Sorry.
How about the weather?
Another one. Beautiful. I should, you know? Yeah, it's a good Tony Robbins one, you know? Oh, I should do this. I should do that, you know? And they should all over themselves, I think Tony Robbins says, right?
So,
another one there. It's like you should do it, then do it, right? It's kind of like, what the hell does should mean? Should's just like, you know, it's like, that's an interesting one, should. It's kind of like by saying it, you feel a little bit better. Right? Mm-hmm. By saying, I should do this, you feel a little bit better, but you're not going to get any benefits unless you actually do it.
Until you commit.
Yep. Bang right. on.
So great. That's, you had that massive breakthrough moment, right? When you had that that hard pill to swallow. And so then you got all those other breakthroughs. You learned from books, seminars. It took you 2 years. You went from number 75 to number one. And so now you recapped everything that you learned during those 2 years within your programs, right? Can you tell us a bit more about your programs?
Yes. So it started just with that program, the boot camp, you know, how to grow a successful boot camp. And then, you know, sold a heap of them. It was like the most successful course in Australia for CEC courses, but then kept creating. So actually now I've got about 40 different courses. So if you go to fitnesseducationonline.com.au, you'll see a whole list of our different courses there. And now it's actually more of a school. So originally it was, you know, sort of my course, right? He's a bootcamp course, but then expanded more courses, more courses, more courses. After about 10 courses, I had nothing else to put in a course. Everything I knew in this head was in a course, right? But I still wanted to deliver my clients who were personal trainers, education, right? That I'll do collaborations in different ways. It might be like, right, Remy, you're a Facebook ad expert, right? You want to put a course together on Facebook ads and then I'll sell it to my community, right? Hey, this person over here, you're a nutrition expert. Great. You want to put together a nutrition course? I'll put it together. You put it together. I'll sell it to my network. You know, I'll get it registered for CECs and all that sort of stuff. Hey, you're a pelvic floor expert. Let's do that. So out of those 40 courses, only about 10 are mine, right? But the other ones out there are joint ventures, essentially. So that's how we do a few little other things at Fitness Education Online. But that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Now we've got 40 different courses. It's like a school. So I'm no longer like I used to be the boot camp guy. You know, you want to grow your boot camp, go and see Jono. But now I've sort of outgrown that, right? It's kind of like if you want to upskill in anything as a personal trainer, go to fitnesseducationonline.com.au and there'll be a course that'll help you in whatever you want to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. And so why would a personal trainer choose your functional training program compared to the CrossFit one, for instance? What's making it unique?
Yes, exactly. So there's a few things going on, but in a nutshell, our courses are the best online courses in the world. I could be biased, but here's what a lot of courses do. They've got it's a face-to-face course that you can also do online. That's what most of them are. It's started as a face-to-face course. You can also take it online. Ours is different. Fitness Education Online. That's what we do, Fitness Education Online. Yeah, sometimes we'll run a workshop or whatever, but it's designed about being around being the best online experience. So best, and then also certified. So all of our courses on simplified version, all of our courses are registered with Fitness Australia and Reps New Zealand. So not only will you get a really, really good online experience, you'll also get your CECs. You'll also get your CECs for your registration. And then on top of that as well, every single person that we've got is the best in the world at what they do. I'll back myself to run the best bootcamp program over anyone else. Let's use our pelvic floor course, for example, right? The person that I got to write our pelvic floor course, I've hand selected as the best pelvic floor personal trainer in the world. Same thing with our myofascial course, you know, same thing with our women's form, like whatever the course is, I've hand selected the best expert in the world for it.
Right. Awesome. I know that you have to go soon. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Nah, I just think just wanted to come on and have a chat. And if there's some tips that can help people with some of the mindset stuff, implement them. And if you want to connect with me, Fitness Education Online, just type it in any platform. I'm not Mr. My weakness is I don't have any creativity. So it's just type that in Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and you'll find us.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Jono.
Thank you, Remy.
Bye-bye.